Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
We get your communion on your seats as well at the end of today's sermon. We're going to be starting off 2024 together on this first Sunday by taking communion together. But as we know, it's a brand new year. It's a brand new chapter for all of us. Whether you're ready for chapter 2 or not, maybe you've come to church for the first time today because you made a New Year's resolution. You set some goals at the start of January. I want to get into church, and maybe it's your first time in church in years. But I want to ask you today, are you ready for chapter 2? Are you ready for encounters? Are you ready for new revelation? Are you ready for chapter 2 to be different to chapter 1? Are you ready for chapter 2 to be different to chapter 1? For those who might be new to Enjoy Church, chapter 2 is the vision on Enjoy Church for this year. For all that God is doing in chapter 2, a new season as Enjoy Church and in our lives. Are you believing that maybe what you struggle with in chapter 1, that Jesus wants to give you that freedom this year? Are you believing that what you prayed for in chapter 1, that Jesus is going to speak into that situation? Because the author of a book doesn't write the same chapter two chapters in a row. The author of the book doesn't repeat the same things in the next chapter. The characters of a story don't deal with the same things that they already dealt with in chapter 1. Chapter 2 builds and progresses on the chapter before. So say it again with me. The new in chapter 2. The new in chapter 2. And that's what I want to talk about today. It isn't just the new of what you will be receiving in chapter 2, but the new in how you will receive it in chapter 2. Not about the what you'll receive, but the new in the how you will receive it. Because a new year, a new chapter for Enjoy Church and all of us in this place, I believe that Jesus wants to reveal a new way for you to receive revelation in your life this morning. Who believes that here? Amen. We might as well pray. That's a good place to start. Dear Jesus, we just invite you into this place, Lord. We thank you for your cross. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, speak to us. On this first Sunday of 2024, Lord, build our faith, build our expectation, and transform us from the inside out in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen and amen. Now, I'm not going to name drop to embarrass anyone in here, but they're going to know that I'm talking about them. Is that a few years ago, I saw something from a new perspective. A few years ago with a bunch of guys here at the church, it was a tame one, just so you know, but we went on a celebration for this guy who was getting married, otherwise known as a Bucks party. But it was very tame. It was very Enjoy Church and Christian. There's nothing crazy. One, it's all right. What we did, 10 of us went down to the Mornington Peninsula, and we went to the Mornington Peninsula Hot Springs. Seems like a great place for 10 guys on a Bucks party to go for the summer at the Hot Springs, right? So there's 10 of us enjoying the warm thermal baths. And as you know, even though we all go to Enjoy Church and we're all Christian, there's nothing, there's no funny business going on. It's still 10 guys in the little pool, you know what I mean? Like, you can't not be disruptive in some way. You can't not have some weird looks from people. You can't not be speaking too loud, laughing, bantering, all those things. It was actually a really interesting place for 10 guys to go for a Bucks party, but it was fun. It was super, super fun. A couple of months later, myself and Em actually went down a night away to the Mornington Peninsula to go to the hot springs again. And I'm telling you, it was a very different experience going with your wife than going with 10 other guys. I'm telling you, it was relaxing. We were so chill. We were talking in the pools. We're having such a relaxing, refreshing time. And then when we were down there, I remembered in that moment that a few months before I was here with 10 guys, and I realized how disrupting that would have been for every single other person who has planned this trip away. There's probably a guy there that, you know, planned the trip away. He's like got a nice weekend away for his wife. He's planned to bought the tickets. He's organized dinner, everything. And then he's rocked up to this morning, to the hot springs, and 10 guys are there on a Bucks party. How disruptive would have that been? I saw it from a brand new perspective. Going there, I saw it from a crazy new perspective. I couldn't believe what it would have felt like for some other people. But as today, as we step into a new year, I want you to see from a new perspective what you're going to receive in 2024. From a new perspective. Who's ready for a new perspective today? John 5:5-14. If you have your Bibles, turn to it. Otherwise, it's going to be up on the screens for those who may not have their Bibles this morning. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda. and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The Lord forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, "Pick up your mat and walk." So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who made him well. We can read this passage, the Pool of Bethesda, through romantic eyes. Romantic eyes. We can look at this passage. How nice does the Pool of Bethesda sound? Sounds like the hot springs, right? It sounds like this beautiful place. The way that I imagine it when I first read this passage was, first off, imagine like on your Instagram, you're flicking through reels and those ads come up and it's like, "The Pool of Bethesda. Come down to the Pool of Bethesda and be refreshed. It's full of vitamins, minerals, healing powers, and you'll never be the same again." Just imagine, that's like a marketer's dream right there. You can get to the Pool of Bethesda. And then when you get to the Pool of Bethesda, there'd be a beautiful reception area, playing tranquil music and like the sound of dripping water everywhere. The lovely person at the reception desk, they would say, "Welcome to the Pool of Bethesda." They'd give you one of those awesome dressing gowns, those gowns that you wear. They're always so soft, those slippers. They'd deck you out. They'd give you a locker to pull all your stuff. And then before you get to the Pool of Bethesda, they'd take you through the Bethesda Cafe, where you get the Bethesda blueberry smoothie, which really gets you going for the day. And really, you can't wait to get into the day. Then you get to the pool. The Pool of Bethesda, and the pool attendant would be there. There'd be a pool attendant there. They'd give you a number. They'd say, "Sir, you are number 12 in line for the Pool of Bethesda. The angel will come, will stir the waters, and you don't need to do anything. We'll just call your name on the speakers. But for now, what you can do at the Pool of Bethesda while you wait is we have a bunch of pool cabanas ready. They have great views of the pool. They also have a Bethesda pool bar there, which you can make the best. You can make use of the Bethesda Bomb, which is a non-alcoholic cocktail, which just gets you ready for what is going to happen in the pool. And then your number is called. Just think about this. I want to go down to the hot springs right now just thinking about this. Your number is called. The attendant comes over, grabs your gown. You walk into the pool. You are healed. Then you can refresh. You can refresh in the post-healing jacuzzi in the Bethesda Wellness Center. Sounds great, right? Sounds awesome. I would buy a ticket to go there tomorrow. But it was nothing like that. Nothing like that. This pool was full of desperate people. Desperate sick people with all sorts of disease, disabilities, conditions that needed healing. This is where people came who had no other option or were too poor to even try and get medical treatment about anything. There was no order. There was no line. There was people climbing over each other to get healed because the angel came infrequently to stir the waters, and it was the first one in the waters got healed. Let's just put ourselves in that place and think, what a desperate place that would have been. What a chaotic place that would have been. What a place where everyone was there for one reason only, and that is to get themselves healed. And fair enough. Imagine that would happen today, that during the Keilor Rec Center renovations, they realized that the Keilor public pool has some healing powers. That every now and then an angel came to the Keilor public pool and stirred the waters, amongst all the other stuff that's probably in there as well, but stirred the waters. People would be like, "Wow, this pool has healing powers." They would immediately come from all over the world to get healed, to try and get in first when the angel comes to stir the waters. But as I said, even if there was a pool in Keilor that could do this, even a pool that could give you provision, answer your prayer, heal that sickness, give you blessing, whatever you might be believing for, if I'm going to be honest this morning, we would all want to get into that pool. It would be chaotic. We would all be running towards that pool. And fair enough, because I would too. We all have very real things in our life that we are dealing with. But I want to speak to you today. There is something in this passage that is so crucial for us as a church, so crucial for us in your situation, in your relationship with Jesus, in your situation, in all that you might be believing for. And this something will bring about the new in chapter 2. Everyone say new in chapter 2. Because like the people all around the pool of Bethesda, they had their situations, their prayer requests, the things that they were believing to be set free from, addiction, whatever it was. We too, across this room, read this verse and can focus only on Jesus healing the man. Jesus picking up his mat and walking away. And we can stop there and think and read that and say, that's the point. That's the reason. Jesus, heal me. I want that. Jesus, give me breakthrough. I want that. Jesus, answer my prayer that I've been praying for 38 years. I want that. Jesus, give me this. I'm here. You might be thinking, Aaron, I'm hearing you preach this message. And Jesus, when we have communion, when we worship again after this sermon, this is the time that I hope that the altar is opened up and you heal me today, that you give me breakthrough today, that you answer my prayer today. And that is all that they were focused on at this pool, was to get what they wanted in their life, was to get and receive what they wanted, to get ahead of the person next to me in their pool. And it meant those that didn't get healed, instead of being encouraged by seeing other people get healed, it meant that those who were stuck on the sidelines, not seeing in their own life, became cynical, became discouraged, and became content. They had contempt, sorry. Which we see in this man's response where Jesus asks him, what do you want? Do you want to get well? And instead of a yes or no answer, he says, 38 years I've been here and nothing's happened. That was his response. That was where his heart was. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have prayers to bring to Jesus. No, we always need to be believing for healing, for breakthrough, for provision, for freedom from addiction. I've seen healing and miracles in my own life, in my own family, praying for babies, conditions of babies, healing from sickness. Jesus is a healing God. He is the name above all names and has authority over anything in this world. That's not what I'm trying to get at. I'm not trying to get it. We don't pray. We pray about everything. We believe for everything. But like I said, as we step into chapter 2, 2024 this morning, I want us to come to our prayers in a new way this morning, because there is new in chapter 2. Everyone say, there is new in chapter 2. In all that we are believing for, in all that we want to receive, Jesus wants to do a new thing first as we stand here on the first Sunday of 2024. Matthew 9:17 says, neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. Enjoy church. Jesus wants to pour something new into your life in chapter 2. In your life, there is new wine that Jesus wants to pour out in 2024. Jesus wants to pour out the new wine of healing across this place this year. Jesus wants to pour out the new wine of breakthrough across this place, the new wine of provision, the new wine of answered prayer, the new wine of whatever your situation is. Jesus wants to pour that out this year. He wants to pour it out in suddenly moments, in prayer moments, in altar call moments. Like I said, God is a miracle working God. There is something in my faith this year that is stirring my faith and expectation for miracles this year, for expectation for what God wants to do at summer conference, at a door conference, at our men's events, in whatever night, wherever we meet. There's expectation building in me to see God pour out more and more miracles in a way that is so transformative, to pour out his spirit like never before in a way that is so tangible, that people walk out of this place different to the way that they came in, that Jesus wants to pour out new wine. Jesus wants to pour out in chapter 2. But on this first Sunday of 2024, I want to ask you this. Is our heart a new wineskin ready to receive that new wine? Is our heart a new wineskin ready to receive that new wine? Do we have new wineskins ready to receive the new wine that Jesus wants to pour out across all our lives, across this church in 2024? Is our heart ready to receive the fullness of what Jesus wants to do in your life? Because if we don't have new wineskins when Jesus pours out the new wine, we'll receive the blessing, we'll receive the revelation, the breakthrough, the healing, whatever it is. But on our way to the car park out of here, after church on a Sunday where we receive that, there'll be a little trail of wine following you out to your car park, dripping behind you. And by the time you get into your car, I hope you have leather seats because it's going to burst everywhere over your car, all over the fabric and everything. I don't even know how to get it out. I have to ask my wife how to get stains out. I always ask Em how to get stains out of my t-shirt. That's what's going to happen if we don't have new wineskins. If we receive the revelation or something from Jesus, it's going to leak out of us if we don't have new wineskins. We may get what we wanted, but Jesus actually wants to do so much more than just heal you. You may get what you wanted, but Jesus actually wants to do so much more than give you provision. You may get what you wanted, but Jesus wants to do so much more than for you just to have an altar call moment here at the end of a worship song. Jesus isn't in the business of changing your Sunday. Jesus is actually in the business of transforming your entire life. It's not just a transaction. He wants to transform you. That's what Jesus wants to do in your life this year. But we need to, instead of asking for new wine, we need to make sure that we have new wineskins ready to receive that. So how do we, with our prayers, what we're believing for, our faith for healing, whatever it is, see transformation into new wineskins for 2024? Well, this man at the pool of Bethesda was transformed, but in a new way, in a new chapter 2, because we can read this verse again and see something different. I'm going to read that verse again, but start from verse 6 to 13. It says, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And once the man was cured, picked up his mat and walked. Then we see it happen on the Sabbath, and the Jewish leaders come and ask him, who healed you? But he replied in verse 11, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. And they asked him, who healed you? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. We can notice when reading this passage again through a new perspective is that Jesus asks the man what he wants, and we know he gives an excuse. But then Jesus heals him anyway. Jesus heals him anyway in that moment. Imagine that moment. 38 years he'd been praying for this. He'd been believing for this moment. And he didn't have to get wet. I hate getting wet. I actually don't really like the beach that much because you get wet and things like that. You're cold. He didn't even have to do that. Jesus healed him. Jesus heals him anyway. Imagine that moment. How full of joy he would have been. How full of celebration he would have been. Telling people in the streets, telling his family, whatever it is. But then the Pharisees ask him, who healed you? Who did this? And his reply in his joy, in his overwhelmed state is, I don't know. I don't know who healed me. Imagine getting healed. Imagine getting your prayer answered. Imagine getting that provision that you've been wanting. Imagine getting set free from that addiction that you want to break free from, but then not knowing the person from which it came. Because even though he got what he wanted, he got what he was believing for after 38 years, his life wasn't actually really transformed because he didn't know that it was Jesus who healed him. He was healed, but he had no one to praise for his healing. He was just happy, but that would have faded very quickly because he had no object of his praise. Well, you can say he did have an encounter with Jesus. It's fair enough to say that. He had a conversation with Jesus. So why didn't Jesus reveal himself to him in that moment? But the problem for this man's true transformation was his heart. It was not open to real transformation and the new wineskin that Jesus wanted to give him just yet. I'm going to ask the keys to come up and the band to get ready because we're going to take communion in a moment. But before we get there, I'm going to share a story of what Jesus has done in my life. But before we get there, I just want to provide some clarity around this man's response and what was happening here. When Jesus came, the Jews at the time were in a moment in history where there was so much going on. The Romans were in government. There was changing rules all the time of what they could, what they couldn't do. It was changing so often. It was a turbulent time from the world. And the Jews' hope was this prophesied Son of God, Jesus to come, that was coming. And what they wanted was Jesus to come and free them from this oppression. What they wanted was Jesus to come and be the King of Kings, more like a political savior. Because all around them, all they could see was a lack of food. All they could see was a lack of provision in their life. The Roman government would literally cheat them out of their money through tax collectors. There was no provision in their life. So they wanted a Jesus to come, the Son of God to come and just provide for them and for it to be all good. All around them at that time was sickness, disease, and people needing to be healed. So they wanted a Jesus, a Son of God to come and just heal them of all their sickness straight away. And for them to not have to struggle anymore with any of that. And all around them was this oppressive government, the Roman government, who would throw them into jail for not much, who they were scared of all the time. So they wanted Jesus to come and be a political savior for them and to release them from the chains of the Roman government and for them not to have to struggle with governance anymore. That's what they wanted. All these problems that they were facing right then and right now, that's what they wanted from Jesus. They wanted Jesus to come and provide for them, to heal them, and to set them free from oppression. Sounds fair enough. It does. If you think about it, in our context, it sounds like our world today as well, in a different cultural context. The same thing that we want Jesus to be in all of our prayers. And exactly what the Jews wanted Jesus to be was exactly what the devil tempted Jesus with in the wilderness. Exactly what he tempted him with. Matthew 4:1-11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." That's provision. The devil was saying, "Jesus, you can make stones into bread. You could literally, I see a lot of stones when I walk around. I got crushed rock in my backyard. Imagine they all turned to bread. We would never have to go to Woolworths or Coles anymore. We would have provision." Jesus then answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Verse 5, the next thing, the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. They will lift up you in their hands so that they will not strike your foot against a stone." That is the devil tempting Jesus with being an authority over healing, with not having to worry about being injured, with not having to worry about sickness or affliction or anything like that. If Jesus gave in to the devil then, in that moment, no one would struggle with sickness. Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord God to the test." Verse 8, the last one says, "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you bow down and worship me." What the devil was tempting Jesus with was political authority over the world. The devil has no authority in heaven. He only has authority here on the earth. And what the devil was tempting Jesus with is, just give in to me, just bow down and worship me. And there will be no governments. There will be one government. It will all be good. No worries about that. But Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left and the angels came and attended him. So in that moment where Jesus was tempted, Jesus could have answered all of the Jews' prayers in one conversation. He could have. In that moment, there could have been provision for all. No one goes hungry. There's more than enough. In that moment, there could have been no pain, no sickness, no affliction. Everyone's healed. In that moment, there would have been no Roman government anymore, no oppression. Everyone lives in political freedom. So why didn't Jesus say yes? Because his people were crying out exactly for this. This is what they wanted. This is what they were praying for. "Jesus, can't you see your people are crying out for this? Answer our prayers." This can sound pretty similar to us. A lot of our prayers and a lot of our culture is focused on these three things. We want Jesus to provide, to bless us. We want Jesus to heal us. We want there to be peace in the world. These are all amazing things, great things to pray for, great things to believe for. These are very real things to pray for. Like I've said, that Jesus is a healer. He's a provider. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will do these things and has done these things throughout history over and over and over again. But the reason the devil wanted Jesus to give into these things first, to answer the prayers of the Jews in this way first, is because the devil knew what Jesus really wanted people to know him first as. And that is where the true power and authority lies. Because Jesus wants to be known as something else before all of these things. Something first, before any of that, is the most important thing. that would transform our lives, that would transform our hearts into new wineskins to be able to receive the new that Jesus wants to pour out. And we see this in the man who was healed. This thing that Jesus wants us to understand, have a revelation of first. In verse 14 of chapter 5 in John, it says, later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who made him well. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? Sounds pretty full on. Jesus come in saying, Nathan, stop sinning or something worse is going to happen to you. But what Jesus is doing in this moment, he's speaking directly to the man's heart. He's speaking directly to this man's soul. He's speaking directly to this man's eternity. It was only when Jesus spoke to his heart, spoke to the condition of his heart, spoke to the condition of his eternity, that he truly realized and had an encounter. We see the rest of it. He gets healed. But then he gets asked, who heals you? And he says, I don't know who healed me. He got what he was believing for, what he was praying for, but yet he can't say that it was Jesus who healed him. He had no idea. But yet when Jesus comes back and talks about his heart, when Jesus comes back and talks about his life, when Jesus comes back and talks about his eternity, that's when he realizes the Jesus that he is talking to. His life is only truly changed when he has an encounter with Jesus the Savior. Only with Jesus the Savior. That is when his life is truly transformed. What Jesus really wanted was for his heart to be transformed and for him to know Jesus as Savior first before anything else. Before anything else. Because knowing Jesus as Savior doesn't change your situation in a moment, but it changes your eternity. Jesus changes your heart and how you then receive everything else in your life. An encounter with Jesus the Savior, will deeply transform your heart, will deeply transform your life, and everything else will flow from it. Then we can bring our requests to God, because he does heal. He does provide. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He does all these things, but first Jesus wants to and must be known as Jesus the Savior. Jesus the Savior. Because if we receive all that we are praying for, if we get everything that we want, everything in this life that we need right now in this moment, without truly knowing, truly having a deep encounter, a deep love, a deep gratitude, a deep thankfulness for what Jesus did on the cross for us. Jesus forgiving our sins, Jesus dying for us, Jesus setting us free. But if we don't know that, when Jesus does heal us, when he does answer your prayer, when he does provide for you, we may celebrate, we may get changed into physical, but even that will fade because we don't have a true revelation of who to praise. Our hearts won't properly be able to receive the fullness of what can be poured out in our life because we are pouring new wine into old wineskins in our heart. If we pour new wine into old wineskins, we will receive the miracle but won't receive the true transformation and changed life that we're really praying for, really crying out for. Just like the Jews, they wanted all these things, but Jesus knew what they really needed. Even the devil knew what they really needed. That's why he tried to stop it. Jesus knew what they really needed, and that was an encounter with the Savior. I'm going to invite the worship team up, and I want to invite you to stand and open up your communion. We have the juice and the bread. And as we take communion this morning on the first Sunday of 2024, can't imagine a better way to start the year with our church family taking communion together and dedicating this year to Jesus and all that he wants to pour out this year and asking him to transform us in this moment. I want to share a story of even in my own life of Jesus turning my heart from an old wineskin to a new one. You've heard me preach, a lot of you would have heard me preach at some point last year about the end of 2022, start of 2023. my wife was dealing with a lot of sickness, and there was, you know, there was things there that we were dealing with and things that we were believing for, and I preached about that, and praise God that God heals. God is a healing God. But in my own spaces, got to the end of 2022, started 2023, and I can tell you that I was exhausted. I was in a place where I was trying to pour out, but I couldn't anymore because I wasn't pouring things into myself. That's what I thought anyway. Was waking up in the morning with zero joy. Waking up in the morning with just no purpose. With prayers turning from faith prayers to prayers turning to prayers of pointed questions to God, asking Him, God, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Prayers of anxiety, prayers of just doubt. Never stop believing in God, obviously. But just prayers of frustration to God. And what I thought in the moment was, God, pour out something new. Give me a new revelation. Give me something. Give me something to get me back to where I was, so full of life, so full of passion for what you want to do in my life, and together as a team, whatever it is. God, just give me something new. Pour something new in my life. And I'm so thankful for people in this church, for our pastors and leaders who are so Jesus-focused, for friends and brothers in my life who are so Jesus-focused that would spend the time and listen to me. It's always good to listen. But also would speak life into my life, to call out things into my life, to raise me up out of that situation and speak new life into my situation and my life. Because before that, my heart was an old wineskin. It was leaking. I'm sure people were trying to pour things in, but my heart was leaking. Answered prayers or not, I went on this journey that Jesus cares the most about our heart before anything else. It's Jesus the Savior. And as difficult as that might sound, if I truly have an encounter with Jesus and have Him at the center of my life, answered prayers or not, Jesus is enough. Breakthrough or not, Jesus is enough. Provision or not, Jesus is enough. Pain or not, Jesus is enough. Jesus could only transform my heart into a new wineskin because of Jesus the Savior. And when He did, the rest of the questions, my mindset, frustrations, whatever it is, changed because the new wineskin Jesus had transformed in my heart. So whatever new that He wanted to pour in stayed in that place. It didn't leak out and fall out everywhere and have wine stains all over our house. It stayed in my heart because Jesus transformed my heart into a new wineskin. And the way that this happened, a huge part of my life last year was a new revelation, understanding of communion. Early 2023, I can't actually remember who did this communion message. We had communion here at church and then we worshiped. And in that moment, I had an encounter with Jesus. It wasn't a big chorus build. It wasn't that loud. It wasn't a being slain in the spirit moment or anything like that. But it was just a moment where in taking the bread and being reminded of His body that was broken on the cross and drinking the juice, being reminded of the blood poured out for us which covers all of our sins. In that moment, I just closed my eyes and just saw the cross before me. I saw Jesus standing next to me. I had this revelation all over again. That whatever we ask for in our life, in our faith, in our prayers, none of it means anything unless we have Jesus, the Savior, in our heart. We will just turn into doing exactly the same thing again if we don't have Jesus, the Savior, in our heart. Jesus is a part of every single day in our life. It's not a miracle that's going to spur me on for 60 years in a faith journey. It's not a breakthrough moment that's going to spur me on for 60 years in a faith journey. It's not provision in my bank account that's going to help me to evangelize to others. It's not any of these things. It's not the answer to the questions about pain in the world that's going to spur me on in my faith journey. What I need has already been given to me. What I need has already been given to me, and that is Jesus on the cross. That is Jesus dying for you and rising again so you don't have to live in sin anymore. We can live in grace and freedom. Jesus is all that I need. Maybe in your life today, you are praying to the point of exhaustion for healing. It's going to come in 2024, but first Jesus wants to transform your heart. He wants you to know Him as Jesus the Savior. Maybe you've been praying today. You've been praying for years for provision, for Jesus to make a way in providing. Jesus will provide, but first today, the first Sunday of 2024, Jesus wants you to know Him as Jesus the Savior and transform your heart into a new wineskin. Maybe today you're walking into 2024 and you're so weighed down. You're even at the point of depression or anxiety about the world, about things going on in the world, about culture, about government, whatever it is. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but today Jesus wants to be Jesus the Savior to you. He wants to transform your heart through the cross. Luke 22, verse 19 to 20 says, "And He took the bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is My body, which was given to you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' And likewise, the cup after they have eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is a new covenant in My blood.'" So right now, I'm going to pray over this communion. And I just want to invite you to take the bread, take the cup, and in your own quiet moment, on the first Sunday of 2024, as we worship after that, I want you to have an encounter with Jesus the Savior, with the Jesus that died on the cross for you. Because Jesus the Savior wants to be a part of your every single day life. He doesn't just want to transform your Sundays. Jesus wants to transform your entire life, and only Jesus the Savior can do that. I want you to believe today and pray right now as we worship for a new wineskin in your heart, for all that God wants to do in chapter 2 here at Joy Church in 2024, for us to be ready as we're in the weeks leading up to summer and all that God is going to be doing this year, for us to be ready and have our hearts ready to receive and not spill out all that God wants to do. And He can transform that right now. We can prepare right now to have a new wineskin in this moment. So dear God, we just thank You, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. We just thank You, Lord, as we stand here, Lord, as a church family and take communion, Lord. We just take the body and we just thank You, Lord, as we remember the body that was broken for our sins, Your body that was broken for our freedom. You went through this punishment, Jesus, for us. And we just remember and just thank You for that right now. And Jesus, we just pray, Lord, and we thank You, Lord, for the blood, the juice that we have in our hands, Lord. We cannot imagine the pain and the cost that You went through for us, but yet You still did it, Lord. And we just thank You for the blood that was poured out, Lord, that to this day and for eternity will cover all of our sins, Lord, and we can live in freedom because of You. And we just pray, Lord, over every heart in this room, over 2024, for all of us, those watching online as well, Lord, we just declare, Lord, a new wineskin for 2024, Lord. We are so expectant for what You're going to do in our lives, for the healing, for the breakthrough, for the provision. But first, Lord, today, on the first Sunday of 2024, Lord, show us Jesus as Savior. Let us have an encounter with You as we worship. Let us have an encounter with You as we eat this bread and drink this cup, Lord. And Lord, once again, give us a revelation of You being Jesus the Savior and what You have saved us from. So dear Jesus, we just pray that over every heart in this room. Amen and amen.